I would like to introduce our next speaker with 22 years from the West Side Story Group in Jersey City. Please help me welcome Doug M.
Hi, everybody. My name is Doug, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. Am I close enough to the mic, Bill? So Bill has taped me many times, and I'm his worst nightmare because I'm a pacer, and I like pacing. He saw Doug M, I guess, and didn't know that it was me, or not sure, but he normally brings a nice mic, and I could just run up and down the stage like I normally do. But today, I'm going to sit still, and having ADD, this is going to be a nightmare for me. So I'm going to be like this, and I'm going to see how this all works out, okay? So you're going to have to bear with me. I got my big book here, and Bill gave me this after one of my talks. It's awesome. I still have it all these years later. So what it was like, it was bad. What happened was a miracle, and what it's like now is just, I'm going to try to explain it in words, but it's going to blow your mind. I'm going to start at the end. So I just came here a couple months ago, moved up here. I had an unbelievable life in Charlottesville, Virginia. I've been out of New Jersey for 38 years. I had a police escort. They gave me when I was 18, they gave me two options, and I took option number one. That was leave by 5 o'clock in the morning. Option number two was go to jail. So I left, and I came back, and I made the amends, and went to go do jail time and all that, and I'll tell you in my story. But my life has been truly amazing in sobriety. What happened was, in 1995, alcohol testing came in my industry. Now, if you're afraid of flying, you should leave right now, because I'm a retired airline captain. I'm not going to tell you from which airline I hailed, because the stock normally plummets. I think I did once, Bill. He had to edit it. I said the name of the airline. I'm like, no. So a couple of pilots from another airline blew it for us. They got caught drunk flying. And like, well, doesn't everybody do that? And then, 1994, I was with the union, and I fought that because it was my right. Listen to me, my right to drink while you're my passenger. So I lost that battle. And January 1995, people are clapping. In January 1995, alcohol testing came in. And instead of saying 8 hours from bottle to throttle, which my interpretation was 8 feet from bottle to airplane, it was now a breathalyzer. And I mean, and I had hangovers that I would fail this breathalyzer like 2-3 days later. So this was not working. So instead of doing these big long trips, I had to start breaking them up to like either out and backs or 2-day trips max, because after two, I was shaking like a leaf. So I'm in December 1994, I'm trying to figure it out. I got my schedule for January 1995, it's January 3rd. I was commuting to Washington, D.C., where I was based out of, and from Amelia Island, Florida. That's like a little drive to us. And so I was commuting there, and the shakes came so bad that I had to steady my nerves. So what did I do? I had one drink. How many of us here ever had one drink? Al-Anon's not included, right? And my wife is a big Al-Anoner, so I could bust you like this. So I had one drink. Now, what happens with us? We're very blessed. So non-alcoholics, if you're here and you're a non-alcoholic, you have a 4-step process, the way you process. This came from a South Miami hospital doctor, and he says, it comes in as alcohol, it turns to a formaldehyde-like substance, which is like, you know, poison, and your brain, non-alcoholic, says, woo, like my wife, you know, she's from Rome, Italy. And by the way, she made us all lasagna. Oh, yeah, wait. That's the only reason why I was invited here. I get it. So it comes in as formaldehyde. She goes, Douglasa. She calls me Douglasa. Douglasa, I'm drunk, sir. She puts an A at the end of everything. And then it turns into barley and hops, H2O, and comes out. 4-step process. She stops drinking. She leaves a half a glass of wine. How many of us have ever looked at our mate like, what? What up with this? I paid for that. Half a glass. So with us, we're blessed. We have a fifth step. Comes in as alcohol, turns to a formaldehyde substance, which is like a poison. And then all of a sudden, we're like, let's kick it up. If one was good, 20's phenomenal. Because what happens is it forms a codeine-like substance in our brain. And the book says it makes it virtually impossible for us to stop. We are restless and irritable and discontent until we can feel the sense of ease and comfort, which comes at once from a drink. Right? And we go on, and we go on, and we go on, and we go on. Let's go back to January 3rd, 1995. That process hit me. Textbook, big book, perfect. February 1st, I wake up. To this day, I don't remember January 1995. That is my drunk-a-log. I don't think I need to qualify any more than just that. Are we all good? I'm an alcoholic as defined on page 21, first paragraph. So I wake up and there's feces and blood and bottles everywhere. Everywhere. It was a Stephen King novel gone bad. And so I'm shaking violently and I look at the side of the bed and there's a letter from my then wife. I married a flight attendant. Imagine that. Anyway, we have two beautiful kids and she's like my best friend. But and it said, you turned out just like your father. I'd taken the kids. And the kids, I think, were 3 and 2 at the time. They're 26 and 25 now. And I remember I'm atheist at this point. I'm an aerospace engineer, so everything has to fit mathematically. And God just didn't make that fit, so he was out. And I screamed at the top of my lungs, you know, and this... no kidding, bright light thing came into my room, and I got up from bed, and I don't mean I levitated. I mean, I sat up, the shake stopped, and this voice came in my head, and it said, it's over. 3 times, it's over, it's over. That was a peace that I have never felt to this day, 22 years later. That was a peace on February 1st, 1995, that was unbelievable. And then all of a sudden, it went away, and I just started shaking and getting sick. It was terrible. But I call up this telephone number that came into my head, and the guy says, Block Block Airlines, Captain So-and-so, Employee Assistance Program. I'm like, ah! I didn't even know what Employee Assistance Program was. I hang up, I'm hyperventilating, and I did that 3 times, and finally he said, stop. This is a secured line with the union. You're protected. I think I'm an alcoholic. Now, I just told you I'm missing January. 1995. And I think I'm an alcoholic. It's amazing how we can just downplay things here in Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Maybe, I'm not sure, could be. So in the airline industry, it's like the CIA, man. They come in and they're like, they cut you out. So I'm in this office and they were there like 3 hours later. And they said to me this. He said, you may never fly an airplane again. Now, you got to understand, that's who I was. That's who I identified myself with. You're going to get a kick out of how this all ended up. So I said, you need to leave. It was February 1st, and it was really bad. And it's raining outside in Florida. It was cold. It was like 62. Yeah, what's up with the weather up here? Oh my God, I froze my butt off this winter. But anyway, so I digress. As he's leaving, I'm looking out the window and I was crying and I said, I'm going to turn out just like my father. I knew it. I knew it. I was 32 years old. And he turned around and he said this. He says, you don't have to live life like you're living it for today. And I'm like, I couldn't imagine not abusing my wife. I couldn't imagine not abusing my kids. I couldn't imagine not abusing my co-pilots, not abusing my, I mean, I abused everybody. Everybody. I had hate to the core of my soul. And I said, let's do it. And we went and we surrendered all my licenses to the chief pilot. And they put me on an airplane and I went to Happy Hills. And so I'm in Happy Hills where they put drunk airline pilots. In South Miami Hospital. Think in the middle of the winter, right? So it's pretty cool. We picked a good place. And I go in there And it was wonderful, right? It was a 28-day program, and they loved me there because they kept me in for 72. Yeah. They kept me in the hospital for 28. That's how bad I was. And I remember I walk in, and there's my wife. Now, she's a flight attendant. She was on a trip. I'm like, what are you doing here? And she's crying. And there's this little guy, littler than me, and he's a psychiatrist. And he's got his feet up on this desk, and he looked at me, and he goes, "You're an angry little man." So now the game is on. And I looked at him and I said, "F you," at the top of my lungs. I screamed it like you see his hair flowing in the wind. And I apparently he didn't get the memo on who was coming to his hospital. I grabbed my wife. I'm just going out the door. And he didn't even flinch. Dr. Wolfson. And he says, "If you touch that effing doorknob," he says, "I'll make sure you won't even fly so much as a kite for the rest of your life." Now, you got to understand, I got to graduate this program, you know, like cap and gown, you pull it all out, right? If I don't graduate, so I'm like, so step one, right? Admitted we were powerless over this guy at this point in time was no doubt in my mind. So they take her out. This big guy comes in, and he goes, "Get to your knees." I'm like, "Whoa, dude, whoa. Calm down. That's not," he's like, "You're an idiot." And then they started calling me genius, right? So he says, "Genius, get to your knees." I said, "No, I don't believe in God." And, you know, he goes, okay. Oh, that's cool. Hey, just grab your bags. Come with me. I'm like, that's it? You don't believe in God? You're like, you're in? I'm like, take it easy, guys. You know, I'm walking out with my little bag. I think I had a suit. And, you know, I'm walking like I was going to Club Frickin' Med. And I'm walking out with this guy. And he hits the elevator. The door opens up. He goes, "Get out." I'm like, what? I got to graduate this place. Are you kidding? He goes, "Get to your knees." I'm like, okay. Come on. Let's go into the room. He goes, "No, now, right here." And I'm looking at this SOB, and I'm like, I get to my knees, and I just start saying this prayer. "God, you bleep, 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 bleep," throwing fingers all over the place, right? And then I'm like, And he goes, "That's good. That's a good one. That's good." I'm like, I'm in a nut house. I thought I was in a rehab. So they put me in a room, not with the other pilots. Oh, no. That's too high class. They put me in with the heroin addicts. God bless you guys and girls. You stink. It is fluids coming out everywhere. And I'm like, it was like, oh my God, I'm in hell. 72 days later, I was like on a door, and they got my legs, and I'm like, "You can't make me go. You can't." I'm like, I wanted to stay. Of course, I wanted to be a counselor, right? We all want to be counselors. And they're like, "Get out." So I go back to Amelia Island, and I hit 90 days. And I just was not drinking and going to meetings. And I'm here to tell you, rarely have I seen a person make it who has thoroughly followed that path. I have not yet in 22 years seen anyone make it. And if they did, the anger and the hate inside, I'm very sensitive with energy, and I could feel it. I'm like, you're right, I got to get away. I got 32 years, and my name's Carl. We had this guy in Virginia, right? My name's Carl. I never did a fortune. And he's like spitting and fully. Damn, Carl. Woo. I used to call him Sweet Pea. He just wanted to rip my head off. I'm like, Sweet Pea, you got to do the steps. Having said that. So it's 90 days. I'm a lunatic. And I'm like, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to pick up. So in Florida, I don't know, in New Jersey, we get trinkets or door prizes or whatever. So for 90 days, they're going to give me like a door prize. It was a green chip. And I'm like, green means lights on, let's go. Time to drink. And as I'm walking out, I was going to go to Five Point Liquors. Check this out. In Florida, we invented this thing called drive-through liquor stores. So when you're too drunk to walk, you drive through. So I got 5-point liquors. Ellen is the lady at the desk. Know her very intimately. And as I, my whole left side of my car is broke because as I'm getting close to the window, I'm like, so I'm like, the left side of my car is all scraped up. And I get my couple gallons of liquor for 2 days off. And so I'm about ready to get out, and this guy jumps in front of me from Hoboken, New Jersey. What is he doing on a 5x10 island? And, right, his name is Greg. He's my sponsor to this day. So he looked at me, goes, "Hey, okay, genius. This is the deal." And I hated when they call me genius because it was a condescending bleh. But apparently, Jersey has, like, you know, all kinds of nicknames: Barefoot Bill, Pilot Doug. I'm still Pilot Doug. I retired in 2004. Anyway, once again, I digress. So ADD, try to keep up. So here we are. I'm walking out the room. This guy steps in front of me. He says, "Listen, genius, this is the deal. If you're about ready to go out because you're acting a little more weird than usual," he says, "AA didn't fail you. You cannot say that because you never worked the program of recovery." I'm like, "What are you talking about? I'm going to 4 meetings a day. You're dragging me to all these institutions, these jails. I hate you all. I hate these meetings. I hate it. I just need a drink." And he says, No. "You got the fellowship. You're good. You got that down. By the way, stop talking. You sound like an idiot when you babble." He says, "But," he says, and he took this book. And this is we only had second editions back then. The other ones all tore up. And he slammed it in my chest. And he says, "If you really want to know the program of recovery, come to my house on Tuesdays and Thursdays." He says, "Show up at 8 o'clock. 8:01, don't knock on my door. You lie to me once, you're fired. You're good. Hey, go have a drink on me." And I'm like, cool. So I go to my car, and I'm about ready to go. And there's, I swear to God, 5-point liquors right there. And I, something just came over me and says, "Give this guy a chance." And that was a Saturday. And I swear to God, I was like this all the way till Tuesday. And I was there at 7:50 knocking on his door. The first thing he showed me in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous was that if you really want to hide something from somebody, you just put it in their book. And so he said to me, "You may notice I introduced myself as Greg, recovered alcoholic," he says, and that always has a big debate. He says, "But it's really on the front page of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and it says how many thousands of men and women have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, but here it says from alcoholism," right? And then he started off with the table of content like this, and he brought me through the big book with a highlighter and a pen. Now, he did it fairly rapid. It took about 3 months. I do it like Dr. Bob. So my forte, and I've been very blessed to speak at AA conferences around the world. My last one was at Winchester Cathedral in England. That was very humbling. They're all humbling. And I take people through the steps like Dr. Bob used to. 4 or 5 hours. Now you're probably saying, "Well, we're going to miss something." Absolutely. And that's why we got a 10 step. And I have a package that I would be more than happy to deliver you via email if you wish. And it shows you how all this works. I still, to this day, do nightly inventory. Nightly. And you're probably like, "Dude, you got to get a life." My life today is so unbelievable. I can't believe it's me. Okay? So then he takes me through step one. That was easy. If you think about the step one part, he says that was easy. So what he did is he says, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body to show other alcoholics precisely, not like vaguely, but precisely how we have recovered is the main purpose of this book." So if it's the main purpose of this big book of Alcoholics Anonymous to show you precisely exactly, like laser, how we have recovered, why do we need to go anywhere else? Well, we really don't. We just need to learn how to work the book, okay? The next thing it says, since the original foreword to this book was written in 1939, a wholesale miracle has taken place. Our earliest printing voice, they hope that every alcoholic, quote unquote, who journeys will find the fellowship. There's a big difference between the fellowship, what we're doing here, which I love. I love my Jersey City group. And the name of it again is West Side Story Group. I'm still new at it. These people are just awesome and loving, and I love them to death. But that's the fellowship, okay? We have the program, and then we have the fellowship. And it talks about, in the big book, a lot about what alcoholism is like. And it talks about that in actual detail. and I have this disease. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. When he got to step two, he says, either God is everything or he is nothing. Either he is or he isn't. What was your choice to be? I said, nothing. He says, all right, genius, then you're hosed. And he packed up his book and he started leaving my house. I'm like, whoa, dude. There's got to be a door number two. He says, there is no door number two. Having said that, he says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, singular, right? He says, you'll get the spiritual awakening at 12. You're only on two. So will you do this? Will you come to believe that your last 90 days has been the help of all of us here as a collective? And I said, I am in. And we just moved forward, right? We kept moving forward. Step three, he came to my house. He got to his knees. Oh, my God. You thought he took off his clothes. I was so embarrassed. My face turned red. My kids were running around. Now, this is a guy who pooped himself at a bar, peed himself and fell off the bar. That's not embarrassing. No. A guy getting to his knees, that's over the hill. He gets to his knees and says, join me, because that's the way they used to do it in Dr. Bob's house. And I said, I can't do it. He says, so you're not going to make a decision to turn your will and your life over to care of God? I said, no, dude, I don't believe in it. He goes, you're hosed. And here we go through the process again. Right? I said, there's got to be a door two. He says, there is no door two. But having said that, you're only at step three. So I'll tell you what, I'll get to my knees and I will say the third step prayer. And he did. And my kids were with him and they're on their knees and they were so young and they're all cute. Oh, I love my kids. Right? And then they got up. He says, will you make a decision to do the rest of the steps with me? I said, I could do that. And then came step four. And then the nightmare began. Now, the way I do it is I will have somebody come to my house, normally my office. I got a big whiteboard, but now I walk on Wall Street, so I don't think this would be too cool. But so they come to my house now. I got a whiteboard, and I do a fourth step for them, meaning I have the forms. And what I say is I look at them, I'm like, you ready? They're like, yeah, man, I'm ready. I'm like, we're going to start off with resentments? They're like, yeah, let's start off with resentments. I got this one really good. I'm like, okay, tell me what you came here not to tell me now. And then the lip starts quivering. Right? Because we all have the thing. It's the thing we're not going to tell anybody. Ever. Well, I had that thing, and that thing was in 1984 in Knoxville, Tennessee. And so my sponsor, I had 22 pages. Check this out. So I had 22 pages of a four step, and the fourth column, nothing, because nothing was my fault. So he says, okay, genius, open up to chapter 6, page 72. He says, do you know why you're doing this? I'm like, yeah, because you're making me. He says, you really are an idiot. I mean, like, you're not pretending. He says, the best reason first, if we skip this vital step, we may not overcome drinking. Time after time, the newcomer has tried to keep to themselves certain facts about their lives. And he looked up me, and he looked into my soul, and he says, are you leaving anything out? Now, I left out 1984, Knoxville, Tennessee. And remember, he said, if I lie to him once, I'm done. And I looked him straight in the eye, shaking, quivering, tears coming down. I'm like, no, man, I'm not leaving out anything. No, leaving out nothing. I was taking this to my grave, right? Now, it says that seven times. Are you sure? I just watched my cousin Vinny. Are you sure? Right? It says it seven times. And then all of a sudden, he gets to the end of the page on chapter five, and he says, we parked our car. No, that's not it. It says here, leaving out nothing. And he says, genius, this is the last time I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to ask you, are you leaving out anything? And I went, yes, 1984, Knoxville, Tennessee, blah, blah, blah. I vomit on the table. And then all of a sudden, I wake up, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to think I'm a freak. And he looked at me, and he goes, that ain't nothing. Let me tell you my thing. And he told me his thing, I'm like, dude, that's sick. Now, anybody who wants me to hear your fifth step, I don't do that anymore. I'm good. I'm like, good golly almighty, you're sick. So then he went on to step six. And in step six, this package that I have 62 character defects. I hit almost every one of those SOBs except sloth. As you could tell, this guy has no sloth. This is me or I'm sleeping. I'm up, jacked on coffee, or I'm sleeping. All right? I'm taking over the world. And so I filled it out. But what I did is I made another side of the complete opposite of that, because we of Alcoholics Anonymous can beat ourselves up, but we don't love ourselves. So I put down the loving part. Then step seven, he came to my house and we got to our knees. We got to our knees. And I said the seven-step prayer. You may notice that the seven-step prayer has an amen at the end of it. That means, so be it. Whatever we saw is done. So be it. It's finished. It's about a year later now, and I'm on step eight, and I get a call from the FAA. And they said, hey, you're cleared. You could fly again. I got all my licenses back. I get a call from that airline that I was flying for, and they said, hey, oh, by the way, there's a captain spot on this airplane in Washington, D.C. Would you like it? Can you imagine that? I tear up now just thinking about it. So I was like, oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. So I go through flight training in December. A year later, in January, I passed. I got all my captain ratings. And, I mean, this was too much. This was just too much. And I'm in Washington flying. I moved to Charlottesville, Virginia, which is God's country. It's God's country. I love Jersey City. It's God's country. So I do some big stuff in Charlottesville, Virginia, fall in love with it, go back home to my wife. And on my one-year anniversary, all this great stuff's happened. She looked at me. She had the two kids in the back of the car. She goes, I no longer love you. I want a divorce. I'm like, well, we don't have to paint the house yellow. I mean, we can change the color. She goes, no, I don't. And I was like, who is he? And I found out. And she was having an affair. So I'm sitting in meetings like, you ever get that? You're like, you know, you just, it's your mind is blown. And I made it through that. And I went to Charlottesville, Virginia. But you know what I found out? You know what I really found out? I hated flying airplanes. Now, I don't think you want to hear that from your captain. I hated it. I hated it. But I started this little company, and it got big, and then I sold it. And all that, like, excitement and, like, high, I found my love, and it was entrepreneurship. And that's what I did. And then from there, it took me to a professorship. And at the University of Virginia, and then from there it took me to here, and I'll tell you how I got here. So I go to Washington. I find a sponsor, another big book thumper. He brings me through the eighth step, and I know you're not going to believe this, but I was a thief and a liar. I used to break into houses and steal money. So he's like, okay, dude, well, listen, you can make direct amends anywhere since you're a pilot. I'm like, whoa, cowboy, we're going to back up on this. What about this writing stuff? He goes, no, you're going to make direct amends. Now, so you owe all this money. You got to go do some jail time. And he's going down. I'm like, what? Because I used to steal from my neighbors. And so I'm thinking, he goes, let's just go over to the big book and see what the big book states. And so he goes over to the big book, and it talks about the ninth step. And it says in the ninth step that we will make direct amends. It also talks about some people can't be, but it says before taking drastic actions, which might implicate others, I'm thinking, oh my God, this is gonna hurt my mother and father and sisters who live in the neighborhood. I said, okay, I'm good. So you know what I used to do? For some reason, I used to wear a suit and tie on amends. Like that was gonna lighten the blow to you. Hey, Doug's looking good. What's that all about? But anyway, so I go to my mother, my sisters are there, and I said, listen, I have to do this thing called amends, but I need your permission, because this is going to affect you. My mother's like, what'd you do? Well, I broke into so-and-so's house and stole money, and I broke into this, I broke into that. My mother's like, oh my God, I thought she was going to have a heart attack. My sisters are like, oh, that's so cool, are you kidding me? Like, how long did you do it? I'm like, okay, everybody, focus. My whole family has ADD. And they're like, oh, yeah. I'm like, but I won't do this if it harms you. I will. I'm a family man. I won't do this if it harms you. And my mother goes, well, what happens if you don't? I'm like, no, supposedly. I'll drink again. They're like, oh, no, no, we're good. We're good. We're good. You go. You go do what you got to. And I'm like. So I go over to the first house, knock on the door. Hi, Mrs. S. Little Dougie. Yeah, they call me Little Dougie. I get it. And like, you know, Little Dougie does good. And so she goes, come on in. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to kill me. And she's offering me tea and coffee. And before you know it, I said, let me just tell you why I'm here. And I told her. And she was like, oh, she's crying. Oh, my God. I did that 6 times that day. It was terrible. And I went back to Charlottesville, Virginia. And I looked at my sponsor. He goes, hey, dude, how did it? I'm like, just like that. I walked into the meeting. I didn't want to talk to him. At the end of the meeting, I felt better. Imagine that. And he goes, so where are you going next? So I got on an airplane for the next 3 months every weekend and went. And it got so bad. It got so bad. People slamming there that I made 3x5 cards. And I'd knock on the door and like Lisa would answer from Seattle. And I'd be like, I am here to make amends to you. If I don't, I may not overcome drinking. And she's like, what are you? She's like, get in here, right? And I had these, and I had them on my form, right? And it was terrible. And then the day came where I had to go make amends to New Jersey. So I call up the union. I said, I'm going to go do some jail time. Silence at the end. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I got to get this monkey off my back because we may not overcome drinking. It was just something that I decided to do. And I called up the chief pilot, and he was like, dude, this is amazing. I said, I'm going to go to Eddie Lang's. I got to do this. This is like no joke stuff. I got to do it. And so I had my little suit again, and I'm walking into this, you know, in Totowa, in New Jersey, this like state trooper's office. I'm like, hi, I'm here. And they're like, who are you? There was this big guy. I'm like looking for my face around. Like, where's my face? I'm 10 most wanted. And so the guy goes into this like little computer. It was about this big back then. And he says, Mr. Muir, we've been looking for you. Click, click. And they put handcuffs on me. And I go in the back. And this old guy, he's about 42. I'm 56. He looked old. Old guy comes in, and he's the district attorney. And he sits down, and he goes, do you have any idea how much paperwork you just caused me? And I'm looking at him. I'm like, dude, I'm in handcuffs. Do you think I care? And he goes, oh. So he takes off the handcuffs, and he goes, why are you doing this? And I went to the big book, and I told him why I was doing it. I mean, I don't overcome drinking. I don't want to drink again, ever, 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 ever. I've heard about the relapses. I didn't want that. I wanted sobriety. And so he left. I swear to God, it was 9 hours, probably about 10 minutes. And he came back with this paper, and he slid it across. He goes, sign this. And all I saw was a dollar sign and $172,000. That's all I saw. And I'm like, yeah, that was big. And I said, okay, so this is what we're going to do. I could pay you so much each month, and then I'm going to upgrade on a bigger airplane so I make this and I could do this. And he's like, are you negotiating with me? You're like in jail. And I said, what does the big book say? Make the best deal you can. I'm like, dude, you think you're the only one I screwed? Are you kidding me? So what I did is I had 10 envelopes, and I would put cash in each envelope every week and mail it out. And when one envelope was done, I would double up on the next envelope and the next and the next and the next. And I've made my last payment June 2nd, 2002 to the universe. It was done. So I signed it. We made some corrections at being anal. And now I'm outside. And I'm like, he let me go. So I go back in, and the big sergeant goes, what do you want? Can I call my mommy? So I call my mommy, and I'm like, hey, can you come pick me up? She goes, why? I thought they transfer you to jails. I'm like, I'm out. She goes, and she, God rest her soul. She's asking a million questions. I'm like, please come here now. Get me out. And so I get in the car. She goes, where to? And I'm like, I can go anywhere I want. I can go anywhere I want. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm equal with the universe. And I said, take me to the airport. She took me to Newark. I hop on a plane. It was United, so it's not my carrier. And we're able to ride jump seat, which is a little jump seat in the flight deck, and other union carriers could ride for free. And then when they close the door, we go into first class. So I'm in first class, and I'm sitting there, and the need and the want for God came over like an ocean. And I wanted and needed God then, and I broke out into tears. I mean, like, you ever had this, that type? And I'm in first class, and I'm crying, and this lady's next to me is patting my head, and the flight attendant's coming over, and she goes, "What's the matter?" I'm like, "I want God." And the captain's turning around going, "What's up with that guy? He wants God." He's like, "Give him God, whatever." Most embarrassing moment of my life. But I'll never forget, when I got off that plane, for the first time ever, the obsession of alcohol went away. Ever. I got chills right now. Ever. And so I went home. I didn't listen to a radio, a TV, and the only thing I read was spiritual books. I read every spiritual book there was. One time I had this knock on the door, and I walk up, and it was Jehovah's Witness. I'm like, "Come on in!" Two hours later, they're like, can we go? Jehovah's Witnesses leave their house. Let it know that I'm the only one raising my hand out of 1,000 people. Big event here, Jersey City. So 10, 11, and 12 is really where it's happening. That's the gig. So I still do a written 10 step at night. For you that I then got a divorce, I met my now wife of 15 years. On an airplane. I was a captain going to Rome, Italy, and she was a passenger. I picked up a passenger. Don't know how legal that was. It worked. She's moved to the States, became an American citizen, and we've had a blessed life. We pray and meditate together every morning. Every morning. Try that with your mate. We do that every morning. I do a written 10 step at night. I get to my knees every night. I get up in the morning. I go to my knees. We pray and meditate together. We take a shower. And then we talk about what's going to happen for the 24 hours ahead. I literally do on page 86 what it says to do. Those are in my forms also. Step 11 is awesome to me. I can really get into a deep meditation. On the weekends, we do a 45-minute open-eye meditation. We live at Portside Apartments. It's the most amazing deck that I've ever had in my entire life. I overlook Wall Street downtown and the Statue of Liberty, and I just tear up. To this day, I'm still tearing up. It's unbelievable. And step 12 is, so I take it to another level, but I don't travel as much. I used to do these speeches every week. It was terrible. It was tough. It was tough. And then I said, okay, I'm going to do 4 international. So I do 4 international speeches, and I do 4 domestics, but I'll do as many of these as you want me to do, right? I'll entertain you all day. I'll do this. And then I bring people over to my house, and I bring them through the 12 steps. I do that every weekend. That's my life, and that's what I do here. So what is it like now? October 7th, 2016, I was on Facebook, and a friend of mine made a comment jokingly to me, and it was a political comment. And then I went back on, and I made a wise remark to him, and I put ha, 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 and someone took that out of context, posted it on the University of Virginia website, and made this title, University of Virginia Professor Compares, blah, 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 blah. It was bad. I hit international fame within 2 days. The rhetoric that was going on about me, I was on every TV station, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, all the right guys wanted me on their TVs for First Right Amendments because I was a professor at the University of Virginia. The Times, the New York Times had on the front page that I was terminated, which was not true. I had death threats, so I took a week off. I couldn't leave my house. Protests were in front of my businesses. I own a chain of restaurants and in Virginia. And TV stations were all over the University of Virginia. It was the most biggest nightmare of my life. You all came out, and apparently it went international. So the international people were calling me up saying, "Oh my God, I'm like, are you kidding? They don't know who you are. I'm going to call up the newspapers." I'm like, "You can't. You can't call up the newspapers. We're an anonymous program." So I'm sitting there, and I'm taking it. And I mean, and I'm taking it hard. And it's hard. So one day I snuck out the back of my house. I went through the woods. I got an Uber. I went to an AA meeting. I walk in the AA meeting. It was up north. And they were like, "Oh, my God, come here and give me a hug." And it wasn't just on local. I mean, this was on international TV. And so I'm sitting there, and this is how AA works. As I'm walking out, this guy comes up, and he's shaking like this. He goes, "Hey, you're that guy. You're that guy." And I'm like, "Yes, sir, I know. I am that guy, and I know I'm all over the TV." He goes, "What are you talking about? I sold my TV a couple weeks ago for booze. But you're that guy that takes people through the steps really fast." And I'm like, "So it's not all about me?" He goes, and before he even says, "Would you be willing?" I'm like, "Yes!" And I grabbed his hand and I walked out. We get in this Uber, and I go, we're walking through the woods, and he must be like, "What is this guy doing to me?" And we go in the back of my house, and I go to the bathroom, and he goes out to the front window and opens up, and it's like, click, 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 click. He's like, "Oh." He goes, "Who the fuck are you?" Oh my God. He's still sober to this day. He was never able to put 2 days together. He's been sober 6 months. So I'm like, I tell him the story. He's like, "Man, you were railroaded." Anyway, what happened was this. All that happened in October 7th, 2016. December, I'm in Wayne, New Jersey with my sister. I grew up right outside Patterson. And she has MS. And she's dying. And she's going down really fast. And I didn't see this. She had to stop taking medication. And I looked at my wife. I said, "We're moving. We're moving back up here. We're going to take her to the end of life." She goes, "You're getting a tenured position at one of the most prestigious universities in August." I said, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm done. I want to come home." And so for 38 years, I've been gone. I'm back home and to take my sister. So when we made that decision, the next day, I go to Wall Street to see a friend of mine. He's the CEO of this company. And so I said, "Hey, you know, what could I do with this type of resume?" He's like, "Wow, dude, I thought you were just like a professor." And he goes, "I need your help. Can you talk to my partner?" I came back the next day. But when I went home that night, my wife goes, "You're not going to believe this. JP Morgan called me." I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "Yeah, they want to interview me." I'm like, "Did you ever apply?" She goes, "No." Freaky. So I go back the next day. She has her interview. I come back. I'm like, "They want me to meet the board of directors." She goes, "JP Morgan wants me to come in." Like, "When?" "Tomorrow." I go back. I come back over. They offer me this job. And I'm like, "Well, no, I think I'm just going to retire." And so she says, "JP Morgan just offered me the job. Not at this position, but at this position." Can you believe that? So now I'm like, okay. When we were in bed, and it was so bad, it was so, so bad. We were so low. We were destroyed all over the news. I looked at you and I said, "Why is this happening? What's the purpose?" And she said, "If you believe in a yin and the yang is going to be huge because the yin is really bad." And it was unbelievable. I'm at a company now that I absolutely adore. I've never worked for anybody. I mean, as a captain, you're kind of in charge. And then as, you know, an entrepreneur, you're always the CEO. And as a professor, that's kind of, you do your gig. But my life today, we were on the porch this morning meditating and we cried. I'm like, "Can you believe we're here? Can you believe this is it? Can you believe I got a home group that I adore?" I am sparked back up by AA in New Jersey. I was like, you know, maybe going to one a week in Virginia. Here, I'm doing three. I haven't done three since the mid-90s. I mean, this rocks. You all rock. I'm going to end with this. Way ahead of schedule. But the deal is this. Don't drink, go to meetings, doesn't work. I promise you that. If you want an unbelievable spiritual life, do this. We have a circle and a triangle, and I saw somebody in here who had the most beautiful circle and triangle medallion, and it was a young man, and he's not here. It was beautiful, and I used to just think that was a beautiful trinket, but it says recovery on the bottom, and the recovery part means working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous on a daily basis. How do you do that? Through step 10, right? I do a written 10 step. I pray and meditate. I make amends when I have to make amends. If I'm fearful of something, I write it down. You follow me? From there, it goes to unity. Unity is meetings. I go to 3 meetings a week. I belong to the West Side Story at 8:15 a.m. on Saturday. I come to the meditation upstairs here at 10, and I go to a Wall Street one on St. John's at 12:15 on Mondays. 3 meetings. I swear to God, I haven't done that since the 90s. I love it. I'm so I'm just so charged up. And I'm not charged up on a let's go speak international and take every international speech that I get. I'm not into that anymore. I'm more into this. I'm more into learning about you. I'm more into taking people through the steps. I'm more local. You know what I mean? I'm more in love with this, like this stuff here. And then on the other side is service. The service work is AA, right? So I want to get very active, and by the help of Craig, and I'm not sure if he's here, who's been a dear friend to me, I'm getting active. I'm doing stuff at events, and I'm meeting new people, and it's like I'm this newcomer. 22 years, I'm this newcomer. How cool is that? I'm telling you, we are the chosen ones. I believe that with all my heart and soul. We are the chosen ones. I'm working on Wall Street, and it's like I am fighting with two hands, and everyone has a hand behind their back. I mean, because we're just so much more in touch with everything, right? Everything. And the good part about this is that I do what I do now because I love it, not because I have to. And when I was asked to speak up here, I was like a little kid last night. Like I couldn't sleep. I mean, I've been doing this for 15 years to, you know, 2000 plus, but I was so more excited about this than I ever had been because you know why? This is now where I'm going to live to the end of my life. And I can't wait to meet you all. Thank you so much. I love you.
Thank you. That was great to hear you. I really loved how Doug spoke about working the steps and how don't drink and go to meetings doesn't work. The steps is really what, you know, changes you.